the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris on the PowerCast, this week we're going to return to the focus on UFOs, and we're going to be meeting up with Chris Rutkowski later on in the show to talk about a UFO flap in Canada, one of the biggest flaps ever. So when people say that we're not seeing UFOs anymore, obviously that's not true. And under the other year, I think 2012, they had quite a number of UFO sightings in the United States, according to MUFON. Of course, I don't know if we could believe MUFON anymore because they lent their name to that Hangar One show. Have you seen Hangar One?
Yes, I have. I've seen a couple episodes. The last episode on hotspots, I was a little bit taken aback. They used a bunch of my material and didn't credit me, which is, what can you do? Some of my ideas and formulas for identifying hotspot regions, I think some of my information was cherry-picked. But I think for the most part, it's really not that well done. Jan Harzen, the international director of MUFON, has been lassoed into doing this show. And I feel that, you know, again, it's a lot of things are glossed over. There's a lot of generalizations going on. I don't really think that the show is digging deeply enough into the subjects that they're trying to cover. And, you know, it's just a lot of pumping that pop culture sort of, I don't know, this weird sort of cultural, I don't know what the term would be, Gene. It's like mythologizing the subject to some degree, even more so than it already is. And they're perpetuating, I think, some of these foregone conclusions by the entertainment industry, and they keep pumping out this meme. They're meme glomming onto.
That's a new phenomenon. Meme glomming.
Meme glomming. There you go. Let's glom on. Let's throw a bunch of memes at the wall and see what sticks and which ones say ow.
You know, the thing that bothered me when I was reading reviews of it, the fact that they bring up manufactured documents. They create their own versions of alleged official documents.
Yeah, and what's this Hangar One? I mean, this is all—it's all fantasy. There is no Hangar One. There are no boxes of files like that, to my knowledge. I mean, the whole thing has this veneer of fantasy, which I find rather disingenuous. It's really creating this whole myth around MUFON, or perpetuating the myth around MUFON, that you can just go somewhere and start digging into boxes of files. Last I heard, all the files were in boxes in Walt Andrus's basement or in his garage. You know, for years I was joking, heck, if a tornado ever hit Seguin, Texas, we'd have MUFON reports spread all across the Midwest. You know, and if they're fabricating the location and they're building up this whole mystique about, you know, this repository of documents, if that's so, how come for decades no one was able to pull reports out of MUFON? And even now, with the digitization process that I think James Carrion sort of allegedly completed, it's virtually impossible to really pull anything out of there unless you have real specific search terms. And it's just a very cumbersome retrieval process that you need to go through on their website to actually, you know, access Hangar One and all the data in there. And it's, you know, and this John Venturi, who's the, I think, state director of Pennsylvania. I mean, I cringed on quite a number of his statements that he made in the couple episodes that I saw. And I don't know, the thing just looks half baked to me and filled with fantasy.
There's no truth to the rumor, by the way, that MUFON's website was designed by the same people who designed healthcare.gov or the Maryland healthcare site. But, you know, what bothers me about the whole thing is that these UFO-related shows, so-called reality shows, seem to veer more and more into the world of fantasy. So Hangar One is docudrama. Now, if we go back to MUFON, is supposed to be a serious UFO organization. It's been there since the late 1960s. And we know sometimes they get the woo-woo elements. All people in the UFO field get woo-woo elements from time to time. Lately, they've been exploiting the woo-woo elements, and maybe, of course, they want to reach a wide audience. But at the end of the day, this is a case of selling their souls. I assume to use the MUFON name, they received a check. But I would think before taking that check, they would have a few ground rules. And it doesn't look like they did.
Yeah, you know, it's Hollywood, man. And their job and their business is entertainment. And the stuff that happens in between the, you know, the blocks of commercials is filler. It's the commercials that are the, it's selling soap. It's selling, you know, whatever American product inspired fantasy that is paying the bills around the production company's office and the network. And, you know, I really feel that, that Jan should exert some, you know, more influence here and really kind of put the thumbscrews on these writers. You know, okay, the Hangar One thing, yeah, I mean, they have to kind of, I don't know, fantasize and mythologize that. But it's just the information is just coming across. It's not doing the subject, I think, justice, and it's denigrating it. And like I said before, it just seems to be anybody that knows anything about the field of ufology can listen to some of the sound bites and just scratch their heads and go, how much do they pay these people to say this stuff? It just, I don't know, it's a little disheartening to me.
It's enough to say I'm going to give it up, which a lot of people do. A lot of people in the UFO field, I think, find it, at the end of the day, just not worth participating.
Right.
There you go. By the way, I'm looking over here different sales figures. And I see, since you've done this long number of public appearances, you're listed amongst the top 3,000 in sales in books at Amazon. And that doesn't sound like a lot, 3,500, 3,600. But that's a fairly good number, especially for a paranormal book.
It is. It went down to in the high 1,000s at one point. I think two people may have bought a book, you know, back to back or something. It's really difficult to determine anything from the Amazon sales figures and sales rankings, especially those lists that they list at the bottom. You know, number two in this list, number three. I do find it interesting, though, that my book is being looked at from science and technology point of view, which is gratifying. I'm not seeing it in the paperback version as coming up in the UFO category. It's science, math, astronomy, and space science is one list I'm on. Biographies, memoirs, true accounts, true crime is another one, which I think is very accurate. And then religion, spirituality, and the subtitle would be the occult grouping of books. And then in the Kindle version, I'm number two in the UFO list. So I'm not sure why I'm not listed in the UFO list on the hardcover part of the paperback, the hard copy. But, you know, again, I've been doing a bunch of shows around, and I did Coast to Coast a week ago. And, you know, I think I'm finding that less and less people listen to Coast live. And I think what they do is they become a member and they stream it later at their own leisure. And I think this is pulling out, this kind of broadening out the impact of that appearance.
You have to pay money, by the way, to get a copy. You have to pay money to be able to subscribe to their podcast service. Not like us here at the PowerCast, where the show is free and will always be free. And there you go. Okay, this week we have Chris Rutkowski. He's going to tell us about what's going on in Canada about a UFO flap at a time and place where people were thinking maybe there are fewer UFO sightings, and that is decidedly not so. Chris Rutkowski coming up next with Gene and Chris. You're in
the PowerCast.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and the Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Government shutdown, inept politicians, entitlements, looming Obamacare. The death of the U.S. dollar as a global reserve currency is what nobody wants to acknowledge. We have a debt bubble that cannot be paid and will eventually crash the dollar. If you're concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237. Extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and we'll discuss your options of buying precious metals. Also, I can send you information on how you can roll over your IRA or 401k into a precious metal IRA. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the dollar crashes. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
With new and ever-increasing health threats on the rise, there has never been a more crucial time to support your immune system. Supernatural Silver is a revolutionary new silver solution that is clinically shown to be several hundred times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver and is powerful enough to help protect you and your family from deadly viruses, bacterias, and fungus. Supernatural Silver is scientifically supported, highly effective, and perfect for everyday use inside the body as well as out. The science Digest Journal says silver is our mightiest germ fighter. It is virtually non-toxic and is emerging as a wonder of modern science. Supernatural Silver is the number one choice of thousands for improved health and immune system support. Find out how Supernatural Silver can change your life. Go to supernaturalsilver.com. Supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off. Give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We're on UFOs again this week, and I'm not talking about being on a UFO, but covering UFOs. Because at a time where a lot of people have felt that maybe UFOs have gone away, they haven't. In 2012, there were a lot of UFO cases in the United States reported by MUFON. Of course, MUFON now has that crazy TV show Hangar One, so you wonder what's going on with them. And then in Canada this past year, they had a pretty high number of sightings. Chris Rutkowski, the Canada UFO wave, is this one of the most frequent number of cases?
Yeah, this is about the second highest number of UFO reports we've ever had in Canada. The There were 1,180 reports that were filed or reported in Canada throughout the entire year of 2013. The year before that, we actually had more, but we think that was quite an anomalous thing because people were really all hyped up about the whole Mayan calendar thing, and there are a lot of people just reporting lights in the sky just for the sake of reporting lights, I think. So we tended to get a lot of cases towards the end of 2012. But the things seem to have leveled out, and the reality is that the number of UFO reports in Canada has been generally increasing since we began doing our surveys back in the late 1980s. So the trend is actually going up, and we already have a good representation for 2014 as well. So, you know, the UFOs haven't gone away. They're still out there, and people are reporting them in very great numbers.
Any cases here that are really unusual?
Well, I mean, every year we go through the Canadian UFO survey and pick out some cases for specific analysis. I mean, we do the whole thing. We find out, you know, where the most common reports are, you know, what provinces, what area of the country, what time, you know, were they orange or blue, or, you know, we go through a detailed statistical analysis. And then we do have some conclusions that are evaluated for each particular case. We each treat the cases as specific examples of something unusual, but in many cases we can explain them. We have probable cases, we have possible explanations, some we just don't have enough information about to rule one way or another. But despite that, and the fact is, you know, we're trying to explain them, there's still a good handful of cases every year that are simply puzzling and well reported. Maybe the witnesses are fairly good caliber. We have good information on if they were something else, we'd be able to say that. And yet we have cases that are unexplained. And the percentage varies from year to year, but we're somewhere in the range of, a few percentages every year that we simply can't explain. And in 2013, there were some very, very puzzling cases. There was a case of a former helicopter pilot and two other people watched 50 orange lights moving in the southwest sky in pairs, sort of two at a time, following the same trajectory south to north. I watched this sort of procession for about 5 minutes, and the helicopter pilot was telling me, you know, I've seen a lot of things in the thousands of hours that I've been flying, and this is just completely baffling. It was not aircraft. It was not satellites. It was not Chinese lanterns. It was something completely different. And when you get cases like that from fairly good observers, those are the ones that tend to make you sit up and take notice.
Yeah. Chris O'Brien here. Welcome to the show. Where exactly did that particular event occur?
That one took place in a place called Portage la Prairie, Manitoba, and it was on September 28th, 2013, about 8 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. And Portage la Prairie is about straight north of the border between North Dakota and Minnesota. Right. So it's that gives people a perspective on where that is.
Yeah, that's pretty remote up there. There's probably not much going on there. They could possibly, you know, indicate why those lights were flying in that particular place.
Yeah. You know, again, it's you know, these are things that are pretty strange, and we get these types of reports every year. There is a residual number of unexplained cases, even after we try and eliminate cases that are aircraft, satellites, planes, and fireballs, and so forth. And yet, we get these reports that are just plain unusual. So, it's an interesting way of going through it. As I say, this is the 25th year that we've been doing this analysis, and the data is there that there is a real persistent UFO phenomenon that's going on. And I advocate that this is a serious phenomenon that science should take another look at, that, you know, a good look that hasn't been done before. At the very least, even if you just look at the statistical analysis, there's probably a few good doctoral and master's theses in here. For a straight scientist to look at.
I think that's an understatement. There's a poster at forum.theparacast.com, calls himself Flipper, and this would be a good time to pose this question at the beginning of the show here. He wants to know, first of all, if there's a pattern to the 2013 sightings, and his follow-up question to that is, where are the main sightings in Ontario? And he gives examples near power plants, nuclear power plants, military bases, or particular villages in the remote north. And first, let's handle that question and follow up, and then I'll ask one about BC.
Sure. Well, one thing we have noticed, and this has been consistent throughout the past 25 years, is that UFO sightings tend to follow population. So in other words, it's the tree falling in the forest that you need people around in order to see something, in order to report something. So the larger number of reports come from the larger population centers. So Ontario being the most populous province in Canada, you know, Toronto, everybody thinks of Toronto. It's a pretty big city. That tends to be the area where most of the UFO sightings occur. Certainly not all of them, but that tends to be where most of them occur. Now, there, of course, are some power plants, nuclear power plants out there. In fact, just east of Toronto, there's a fairly significant nuclear power plant. But to say that that's why the UFOs are concentrated in the Toronto area is difficult to, you know, to rationalize, because the reports are literally all around the entire area and southern Ontario, like around Lake Ontario, Lake Erie, that area there. So I don't think we can say that they're concentrated around nuclear bases and military bases. We do get reports from military bases. We do get reports from, you know, one end of the country to the other, from the extreme south to the extreme north, into the high Arctic, from coast to coast, from literally over one ocean and over the other. The trend tends to be with population, but the numbers of reports are really all over the place. If I was to say that there was one particular area that stands out more than any other, that shouldn't be, you know, if we take into account population, I'd actually have to say that the maritime areas, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, Newfoundland, that group of provinces on the East Coast, they tend to get a few more cases than they should, strictly by population, because they don't have a lot of population out that way. Why that's so, I'm not sure. But that's one trend I can identify. The other side of the coin is the other side of the country. In British Columbia, you're sort of going to ask something about that, but British Columbia has a very significant population, of course, as well. Vancouver is there. But there's a section of British Columbia just to the east of Vancouver called the Surrey Corridor. And what happens is, as you come over the mountains, there's a valley or a series of valleys where ordinary aircraft have to come in order to make the Vancouver approach.
This is part of a flight plan. This is part of a route they have to travel.
Yeah.
Chris Rutkowski is joining us. We're talking about Canada's UFO flap and more with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and floating phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO at WebTV.net. That's MrUFO at WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, Chris Rutkowski joins us. We're talking about Canada's UFO flap. Now, you were mentioning the flight paths they take in Vancouver. Of course, I wonder in passing, of course, whether people see a lot of things there because they film so many movies in Vancouver.
That's possible, too. Yeah, I mean, X-Files was based there for a number of years, and a lot of the science fiction shows that we see today based there, especially with the Canadian dollar going down a little bit more, I think we're going to be seeing more of that. But, you know, the Surrey Corridor is an area where a lot of people see UFOs. You know, we can explain some of them as being aircraft seen at unusual angles and whatnot. But that tends to be another area where there is a higher than normal number of reports every year.
Do you have a solid percentage of the number of cases that traditionally remain unexplained after you account for all the variables?
Yes, and I'm just going to cheat here by looking at my notes. The number of cases, well, there were 14% that were unexplained in 2013. What that represents is, after you take one pass and we don't seem to have a good idea of what was reported, that goes into a file called the unexplained, the unknowns. And then we go through it one more time looking for the really high-quality unknowns, that is, reports that are not only not just unexplained, but also are reported by pilots or weather observers, air traffic control operators, whether there's multiple witnesses, whether there's documentation, whether it's highly investigated, the witnesses were cooperative to the point of providing us with a great deal of information. And those are sort of the cream of the crop. And those average around a couple of percent every year. The percentage of unexplained has actually remained relatively constant. It's quite interesting that if you go back into the archives, and all of our archives are online for anybody to look at, but if you go back all the way to the late 1980s and early 90s, the percentages are actually very consistent, which does suggest that there is although people are continuing to misidentify things, they're also reporting some interesting cases that simply don't have an easy explanation. And those are the ones that we try to concentrate on. We try to highlight those every year.
Here's another question from Aristocat. You know, you're talking about quality of cases. He asked about the percentage of cases you collected that you feel are credible, and I think you've answered that. But what is the best case that stood out to you as the one case that gets us closer to understanding the UFO mystery from 2013?
from 2013, I'd have to say there was an interesting report from Nova Scotia at the beginning of the year, from January of 2013, where two children had been doing some tobogganing on a little hill just outside of a suburb of Halifax. And they saw a large object coming at them over the trees. They'd heard a beeping noise, and that's what drew them to look into the sky. And they said the object was like a massive hotel with protrusions and windows and things sticking out. And it flew towards them over the trees, zipped around a bit, and then flew away out of sight. What's interesting, it terrified these kids. And they were, if I recall, something like 10 and 7 or something like that in age. They were so terrified, they ran into the parents' house, and they were absolutely white. And I spoke with the mother of the kid, and she said, you know, she's never seen her son like this before. He was shaking. They were absolutely, you know, positive that this happened to them. I interviewed them, and they actually drew separately some drawings of what they had seen. It's, you know, very interesting drawings. What happened, though, was that because the mother was very upset about her kids, she actually called the RCMP. The Mounties came out. So the police actually came out to investigate the report and talk to the kids and talk to the parents and looked around the area. And, you know, they took it fairly seriously. The mom had assured me that, you know, these kids, you know, don't make up stories. In fact, she, you know, threatened them with a good tannin if they were making up a story because they were getting the police involved. And they stuck by their story, you know, and there's no physical evidence left from this. But the fact that, you know, we have impressionable kids that saw something to the point where they told their parents, that police became involved, that, you know, the stories seem to be good. I think that represents a pretty good case. Now, I mean, a skeptic can just say, oh, the kids are just making stuff up for fun. But again, the parents insist they're not prone to this. They've never done this before or since. What did they see? And I think that question still remains, regardless of whether you believe it or disbelieve it.
It's a pretty odd description of a craft that looked like a flying hotel with, you know, protrusions sticking out. What do you make of that? Have you had any other reports from the area that would indicate that this thing had been seen by others? Or were there any corroborating reports or a wave going on at the time or anything?
Well, the area, Halifax area, Nova Scotia, has had quite a number of unusual reports over the years. At the time, the beginning of January, we did have quite a large chunk of reports, as many as 100 UFO reports from that area of Canada in a very short period of time in January. This description of the hotel, the boy was describing, you know, an object that was very, very large with a lot of windows in it and lights coming out of the windows. So, I mean, his description of a hotel is at least as good as anything else that I can imagine. If I had seen something flying overhead, if, you know, some people might use the term mothership. I mean, he'd never, you know, imagined that type of term. So in his case, he reported it as a flying hotel.
Well, that certainly would fit with the mothership categorization, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Amongst all the cases, do you find any number of hoaxes? Certainly the skeptics will say that if the objects are not being misidentified somehow, and I don't know about this flying hotel, what it could have been other than what it was. Do you find any evidence of people deliberately playing hoaxes?
Like the Guardian case, I think, from what, the early 90s? Remember that one?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Guardian is a good example to hold out as a classic hoax. The reality is, because we can actually take all the UFO data, this 1,100 and change, that's reported every year. And for the most part, we can either assign a category of probable explanation, possible explanation, insufficient info, and so forth. We know that in a lot of cases, in fact, most of the cases, there was an object in the sky to be seen. I mean, we have multiple reports, multiple witnesses. If a person reports seeing a light moving around, if we can't explain it eventually as a star or satellite or plane or whatever, we know there actually was something there, so there was no hoax involved. They're simply reporting something in the sky. The number of actual hoaxes where people are, you know, pulling the wool over our eyes is surprisingly very small. I mean, you know, we can never rule it out, but you have to think in terms of what's the motive, what possible reason. could there be for making this story up? If there are corroborating witnesses, if there are other people who had seen similar things, you know, that tends to discount the hoax theory. I do know that there's another internet hoax coming up, I think this weekend or early next week, that's been advertised, and ufologists have to, you know, be on the lookout for that.
But now, that's going to be when the show is heard. Can you tell us what this hoax is about?
A number of years ago, there had been a planned hoax where people had used social media to say, listen, everybody on this day at a certain time, I want you to report to the various agencies and UFO groups and to whoever that you had seen a UFO. And this is the description we want you to use. You know, it's a disc shape with an orange light or something and making a noise, moving in a certain direction. And we want you all to report it happening at the same time. And what happened was, sure enough, we got not a lot, maybe 40 or 50 reports that all that evening across Canada and parts of North America. I think it was pretty widespread. But because the reports were so similar, and then after follow-up, because we simply don't accept the reports at face value, we tried to do some follow-up, and we tried to follow up with some of the people who had reported it. They were either reluctant or we found out they were using spoofed IDs and things like that. It was pretty simple to figure out that this was an internet hoax.
I'll tell you what, we'll get into more.
Yeah, exactly.
Internet hoaxes and other things coming along. Chris Rutkowski joins Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hey everyone, have you heard about the no-no hair removal device that's sweeping the globe? If you want to go weeks without shaving and get smooth, professional, quality results, here's our favorite host, Cheryl, for no-no hair removal.
Thanks. Hey gals, I love talking about my no-no. It's this cute little hair removal system that you can take with you and use almost anywhere at home or on the road. No more expensive in-office treatments, painful waxing, and no more wasting your valuable time. Got unwanted facial hair? No-no has patented Thermacon technology that works on all hair and skin colors, so it's perfect for using on all body parts. And now you can take advantage of this incredible risk-free trial. Get the No-No, the facial kit, a travel case, and a $100 discount shopping card, and you don't risk a penny to try it. Try the incredible No-No hair completely risk-free. Call 1-800-953-6062. That's 800-953-6062. 800-953-6062.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
Ouch! My back is out again!
Hi, Dr. Ortman with Wellspring Spinal Care. If you're experiencing neck, mid, or lower back pain, this information is for you. One of the complaints that I hear is patients receive their typical adjustment, only having to repeat them as the pain returns. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the battle. At Wellspring Spinal Care, we have the entire solution. We use the NUCA approach, utilizing three-dimensional x-rays and gentle touch technology to deliver specific correction. We then design a custom nutritional supplement program which provides essential nutrients targeting the areas of concern. With a NUCA approach and proper nutrition, you'll be on your way to a faster and more permanent recovery. To get you on the road to wellness, visit drortman.com. That's drortman.com. Or call us today, 952-303-9124. That's 952-303-9124. Wellspring Spinal Care. Chiropractic done right.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, Chris Rutkowski is here to talk about the Canadian UFO wave, especially last year when there were quite a number of sightings. And we were going into so-called internet hoaxes. I tend to think, though, that when people are going to perpetrate a hoax, they just create a fake photo and they stick it up on YouTube, don't they?
Well, there is a lot of that. As a matter of fact, we're getting a lot more videos and photos these days from people reporting UFOs. It's actually pretty common to be getting them. I mean, one of the questions from skeptics and debunkers is that, well, you know, if people are seeing so many UFOs, why don't we get more photos of them? Why don't we, you know, have the smoking gun evidence and so forth? Well, the reality is we get a lot of photos and videos, but if you've ever tried to use your iPhone camera to take a photograph of something moving in the distance in the night sky, you'll quickly realize that it's really quite useless. The resolution is simply not good enough. Even with a standard camera, with a film camera, if there's a distant light moving in the sky and you try and take a photograph, you're not going to be getting very much. And the same thing with video. If you're going to be trying to get a video of a distant object moving in the sky, you'll get a lot of black and maybe an occasional glimpse of a white dot somewhere in the distance.
So basically speaking here, the UFO would have to be really close. It would have to possibly be daylight to capture a really good image on your iPhone.
Absolutely. And when we do get those videos, inevitably there is some question of the fact that they're hoaxes. I mean, if we get, you know, giant structured flying saucer objects moving within a few hundred feet of a witness zipping around and things like that, the chances are pretty great that somebody's used some video toaster to come up with the image. And that's unfortunate, but they're easy to identify. And I think the reality is that most serious ufologists and serious UFO researchers don't take anything at face value. But thank you very much for the video. Yeah, well, there's a number that do take it at face value and start reposting it around. And, you know, that gets into some dicey things. But for the most part, when somebody, you know, gives us a video, we say, thank you very much. Can you provide us with more information? Can you take us back to the spot where this was? Can we look at your camera? I mean, there's a whole series of processes that are involved before we can say, yes, this absolutely was a genuine UFO. It happens very, very infrequently. I mean, some people are out there to hoax and others just want to get us to help them understand what they've seen. You know, most of the people who report UFOs are simply looking for some validation that they're not crazy. You know, I really did see this. You know, can you help me understand what it was that I've experienced?
Oftentimes, all you have to do is listen to the audio and you detect bad acting.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, look at that, man. What do you think of these, some of these websites that have sprung up with many tens of thousands of subscribers that have, you know, maybe one or two decent, you know, interesting clips that are surrounded by dozens and dozens and dozens of obvious hoaxes, and yet all these clips are given the same amount of gravitas. What do you think about that, and how this may be, you know, mythologizing further this whole subject?
Oh, yeah, there's no question that this is really putting in people's minds that there's a lot more out there than there really is. In terms of the videos, I mean, if you get a video and you check with the poster and you see that the person has, you know, 300 or 400 additional UFO videos, then you have to suspect that there might be a motive behind the person who's posting it. And the fact that there's a lot of sites that simply post all sorts of nonsense and have so many subscribers attests to the fact that there is a real growing desire among people everywhere for some real information, that they're looking for some answers. They're seeking the truth. They really don't have the resources available to critically analyze what is really going on and the stuff that is, you know, a little bit dicey. And the trouble is there's no one who speaks with authority about UFOs anymore. And that's a consequence of the nature of who we are. And I mean, back a number of years ago when we had Professor Joseph Allen Hynek, he was considered the authority on UFOs. He's the guy who was in the Close Encounters of the Third Kind. He founded the Center for UFO Studies. He appeared on so many TV shows and radio shows and whatnot. He was sort of, you know, the spokesperson for all of ufology. Now, ufology is fractured to the point where, you know, there's somebody who's an abduction researcher, someone who's a crop circle researcher, someone who studies orbs, someone who studies spiritualistic stuff. And even within those categories, there's a lot of people of different quality and approaches, because there's no real place to gain authoritative knowledge about UFOs. I mean, you can't go to, Duke University and get a degree in ufology. You know, Lord knows Duke could use the help, but that's something that we don't have. So anybody can claim that they have credentials or expertise in UFOs, and who are you to say that they aren't?
There's no degree, there's no credentials. You don't even need a license in your jurisdiction to be a UFO investigator. And in the segment before this, Chris and I were talking about the fact that some of these nationally or internationally televised TV reality shows about UFOs, they take sometimes real events and they exaggerate them, or they just make things up. And we're talking about a specific show now called Hangar One. Have you seen it?
We don't get it up here in Canada, but I've heard all about it and I've seen some clips on YouTube. So I do know what you're talking about. There's an interesting spoof of it already that's on YouTube, which is quite amusing, too. It is true, they tend to present a lot of things that as if they're fact. But, you know, you really have to question, where are they getting this information? I mean, MUFON's a great organization. You know, I've spoken at their national conferences and have a lot of friends who are, you know, in the ranks of MUFON. But the reality is there's people who belong to MUFON who are, you know, no more informed about UFOs as the average person you live with next door. And then there's people who have a number of degrees and have studied the phenomenon for many, many years. And both of them are often trotted out as experts in one thing or another. And, you know, it's not just Hangar One. There's a program called Close Encounters, which I was involved with just a few months ago, which aired in the States. And there's a whole series of UFO shows, you know, hunting for them and so forth. And I think the point is that some of these shows do a justice in raising awareness of the subject. They do get people thinking. They do, you know, bring up some interesting points. And I think if people watch those shows with the idea of generating more interest, I want to find out more. Maybe there's a website that I can go to learn more about the cases. If you look at it, the shows that way, that's fine. But if all you're going by is what has been presented on television, you know, I that's the problem. People are just simply accepting too easily and quickly.
Well, I also think that the increase in media coverage has almost an effect of having people be really excited about the subject, and then you tend to see blossoming of reports that show up that are from real, you know, untrained observers who are misconstruing, you know, mundane airplane landing lights, for instance, or lit up cabins and private planes at night. And it does have a habit, I think, the media coverage that is, has a an effect of creating a lot of misidentified reports and increasing that. And then that has the effect of making it appear that there's really more going on than possibly there is in terms of true foes, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. Another question that we have here is interesting, and it has to do about Native Americans in Canada. The question comes from Team Sheep Squatch from our thread at forum.theparacast.com. And he wants to know how many sightings are being reported by your ever-growing Native population up there. And he says, I think a few years ago that number hit over 1 million for the first time. And he's asking this because he thinks the actual number of sightings could be greater than thought over areas where Natives congregate and live. And he says Native Americans are often reluctant to talk to outsiders, and they live in some of the most remote areas there. Have you seen any sort of correlation over some of the more remote areas where Native peoples live?
Well, I'd have to say not especially, but there's a number of reasons for that, number one being the population. Again, it's a lot of the First Nations reserves are in isolated areas in the far north.
Let's leave it here, and we're going to do the break, and then we'll get back to the rest of this answer.
Okay.
All right. We have Chris Rutkowski focusing on the UFO wave in Canada, and a lot more with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
If you own a business, you need customers, right? Well, your potential customers are listening to this radio program right now, and I can help you reach them. Hi, I'm Matt Brower, a national marketing executive at the radio network responsible for this program. I can help you customize a national radio campaign that fits your budget, large or small, while targeting your specific audience. Call me to learn how radio advertising can make your business more profitable. 877-996-4327, extension 128. That's 877-996-4327, extension 128.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit herbalhealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. Herbalhealer.com, working with the power of nature.